We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
School crossing guards play an important role in making sure kids get to school safely. But those guards work under dangerous conditions that can threaten their lives. In this three-part series, hosted by the AP's Haya Panjwani, we'll hear about the dangers of the job and the stories of those on the front lines. An investigation into police accident reports by the Associated Press and Cox Media Group finds more than 200 school crossing guards have been severely injured or killed over the past 10 years. This is part one of Disregarded.
For many families, the trust placed in school crossing guards is almost invisible, part of the daily rhythm that gets their children to school. For Dawn Lee, the dangers she faces on the job are impossible to miss.
Basically, we're just out there putting our life in jeopardy for $16 an hour.
Crossing guards are key to ensuring kids get to school safely, but that job is often done by putting their own safety at risk. The responsibility of crossing students from one end of the street to the other is not just dangerous, but at times, fatal. Lee is a school crossing guard manager with Indianapolis Public Schools.
So where we're stopping traffic and letting the parent traffic in and out, then we got to stop traffic and, you know, get the buses in and out, stop the traffic to, if there is any walkers or bike riders, to get them across the street.
Since there are no federal standards for what a school crossing guard is responsible for, it's up to local communities to patch together regulations from their local and state traffic or police departments.
We're actually controlling traffic where the crossing guards don't control traffic. They're just stopping it to walk kids across. They're not saying, okay, right lane turn, left lane turn. You know, they're not doing any of that.
Standing in the middle of the road as traffic comes at you and also managing the safety of children can make crossing guards feel vulnerable.
The main thing is the safety with the speeders. No one's enforcing the school zone, you know, the speeding school zone. That, yes, they have signs out that say school zone, speed 25 miles an hour, slow down, even the flashing ones, but nobody's enforcing it.
Travis Callis was a crossing guard in Martinsburg, West Virginia. He says while he's never been hurt by speeding drivers, he's had several close run-ins.
So there are times that I'll turn and look, and in this situation I'm talking about, I was turning and looking to make sure someone else stopped across the street. And I just heard one of the kids kind of scream, "Mr. Callis," and then I turned and the lady had was right up on me. I could feel the heat of the car against the back of my legs, and I just kind of jumped and yelled a cuss word because I was scared. It's almost common enough that it's a joke. the admin knows that. I mean, we've had police sit, they've sat at the intersection, and usually when they see the cops, they play by the rules. But the cops can't be there every day. I'm in the street, and they just drive through. Like, I'm holding the sign up, and they're just driving at me.
Callis says he believes these near misses usually happen because people are in a rush.
Really appreciated if people understood that kids are more important than the 5 minutes they're going to be late to wherever it is they're going. I know things happen in life, and maybe you need to rush to get there, and it could be an emergency. I don't discount, you know, any of that. It could be anything, but that doesn't then give you the right to endanger the lives of kids.
Both Callis and Lee say law enforcement hasn't always been quick to respond.
My employees will tell me, you know, somebody ran their stop sign, because, you know, we have to use a stop sign to stop the traffic, and people will just run their stop sign. And it's, you can't get a plate number when you're standing in the middle of the street with a whistle in your hand and a stop sign and all that to try to get anybody's plates. So when we do report that to the Washington Township Police Department, I think it just goes in one ear and out the other, because nothing gets done.
Callis says he sometimes reports near misses to his school, but
they'll contact the police department. But usually in those situations, there's so much going on. We have kids crossing and stuff. And in those situations, I'm usually so worked up that I don't think about like looking at license plates or any of the kind of identifying information that you would need to do something else about it.
They don't really say much. Thank you. We'll take care of it. You know, anything to appease you.
In part two of Disregarded, we meet the daughter of a crossing guard who never made it home, and the lack of accountability in these cases. This audio series was produced through the Associated Press's Local Investigative Reporting Program in collaboration with Cox Media Group. I'm Haya Panjwani, broadcast radio reporter and producer with the Associated Press. Reporting for this story is in partnership with Investigations intern Deja Garner and Investigations Data journalist Aaron Kessler. Thanks for listening.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This is part two of Disregarded.
We've heard what it's like to stand in traffic to help kids get to school safely, as well as the close calls that crossing guards say happen far too often. For one family, the job wasn't just dangerous, it was deadly. In Layton, Utah, crossing guard Stephen Nguyen was killed while working his post. Jennifer Nguyen is his daughter.
An elderly woman ran a red light, actually ran through several indicators that she should have stopped. And just struck my dad with tremendous force. If you read his autopsy report, not even a hint of slowing down. And thankfully we are pretty sure that he died almost instantly. There was a first responder who just happened to, not because he was on duty, but just happened to be stopped. So it was a red light. It's a very busy road. It's a busy road. It does have a light, but it's still a busy road. It's the main street. I believe the speed limit is 40 miles an hour, but it's a very busy road. So everybody else, several cars were stopped at the light because it was a red light. But this woman, for whatever reason, just missed several indicators to stop, including my dad and his reflective vest and his stop sign, and just hit him with tremendous force.
The Associated Press and Cox Media Group reached out to several federal agencies, including the Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and found that there's no systemic way of tracking crossing guard injuries and fatalities. School crossing guard protection remains a patchwork of state and local policies, with no national standards or reporting methods for keeping track of when such workers are hurt on the job. Federal data analyzed by the AP shows that being a crossing guard is among the most dangerous jobs in the country. Only New Jersey and Massachusetts have made a serious effort to track crossing guard safety. Reporters from the AP and Cox compiled data from police reports requested from nearly 200 police departments. The data shows more than 220 guards were injured on the job over the last 10 years. More than three dozen were fatal. The data likely undercounts the number of guards injured and killed across the country. Drivers who hit crossing guards rarely face criminal charges, even if the injuries to crossing guards result in death. Of the incidents examined by the AP and Cox Media Group, 25% of the drivers identified faced criminal charges. In Nguyen's case, the woman was detained at the scene, but
she was free to go about her day. In fact, she is contesting that there is no reason her driver's license should have been suspended, as if killing someone isn't enough of a reason to have your driver's license suspended. When you start to look into it, there is rarely ever jail time. Usually it's just a $1,000 fine and something on your record, and that's it. There's very little punishment for killing someone.
Wynn's story is not an isolated one. Last year, 61-year-old Stanley Brucker was working as a crossing guard at Fort Mill Elementary School in South Carolina. He was struck by a car as he was holding a stop sign and directing traffic outside the school. Video captured by a passing school bus shows the vehicle striking Brucker and flipping him over the car. He died from his injuries. Brucker was the fourth crossing guard to be hit or killed while working for the district. After his death, many of his colleagues refused to show up for 2 days after it was determined the accused driver wouldn't face charges. Despite the incident being caught on video, local prosecutors declined to charge the driver. Brucker's family sued the district, accusing it of placing guards in unsafe locations along a busy highway, pointing to multiple past incidents. In response, the district denied fault and argued that Brucker knowingly and voluntarily assumed the risk of injury or death by taking the job. Both the district and the driver have asked for the lawsuit to be dismissed. Attorney Rutledge Young represents the Brucker family.
He was being directed and controlled by the school district at the time that he was killed. That was part of his responsibility given to him by the district.
In a similar case in 2017, Hunt County, Texas district attorney struck and killed crossing guard Christine Sandlin, who was 87 years old. She was hit in front of the elementary school where she worked and later died. A special grand jury returned no indictment on account of criminally negligent homicide, citing insufficient evidence. Walker remains in office. With an inability to measure the risk this job holds, it's difficult to see how dangerous the job really is. The Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes survey data for on-the-job injuries and deaths across most industries. School crossing guards are included in a job category with road construction flaggers. An AP analysis found crossing guards and flaggers are in the top fifth for on-the-job deaths rates. In the final part of the series on crossing guards, we explore efforts to improve safety and the ongoing struggle to recruit and retain guards. This audio series was produced through the Associated Press's Local Investigative Reporting Program in collaboration with Cox Media Group. I'm Haya Panjwani, digital audio reporter and producer with the Associated Press. Reporting for the story is in partnership with Investigations intern Deja Garner and Investigations data journalist Aaron Kessler. For more on the story about crossing guards, visit apnews.com.
This is part three of Disregarded.
Last time we heard from Jennifer Wynn, the daughter of Stephen Wynn. He'd been killed in a traffic accident while working as a crossing guard. After a tragedy like Stephen's, one question remains. How could the job be safer? In this final episode of our series, we look at states and crossing guards trying to answer that question and what it would take to make the job safer nationwide.
Dawn Lee is a crossing guard manager with Indianapolis Public Schools. She says she has a few ideas on improving crossing guard safety.
I don't know what can change besides police presence. You know, police doing something to you know, be more enforcing the laws. That's the only thing that's going to stop it.
In Wynn's case, his daughter Jennifer believes her father could have been saved if another crossing guard had been on the scene with him.
There are simple things that can be implemented across the board. As I mentioned, the street that my father, his particular crossing, was very busy, and it was four lanes of traffic. To me, the fact that he was alone versus two crossing guards, do I know whether or not that would have made a difference? I don't know, but having a second set of eyes to be like, Steve, having a minimum of, you know, setting a minimum that for so many lanes of traffic, there are so many crossing guards.
And Wynn says the simplest fix, a traffic light, has its own problems.
Having a light is sometimes an excuse for not having a designated school zone, because people have to stop at the light, so they have to stop to let them cross regardless.
But as Lee says, it's difficult to find people who will work a job that requires putting your life on the line for limited pay.
I've been doing this for 16 school years, and it's getting harder and harder for me to find staff. Like, I'm going back to school tomorrow and I'm four people short. I sent the chief and the lieutenant an email this morning hoping for, okay, we can help you out. No, they basically told me I need to get in contact with my upper management and find some bodies. Well, for $16 an hour, split shift, that's not even enough to pay anybody's bills.
In other school districts around the country, some crossing guards don't even get paid. It's a volunteer position.
I'm at that point. I think, you know, I'm going to focus this year on trying to find something else. But, you know, I'm the kind of person that I stick with a job. I give you 110% of me, and I'm not a job jumper. I don't jump from job to job. That's why I think I've stayed as long as I have. Plus, there is some good parts to it. I've met a lot of people doing this job. Parents, students, staff.
In New Jersey, state officials recognized a trend with crossing guard injuries and deaths and implemented a program focused on their safety. The state is conducting inspections on school districts and police departments where crossing guards are present and seeing what changes need to be made to ensure safer working conditions. Justin Baker is New Jersey's Assistant State Labor Commissioner.
The problem with the job in general is, I mean, you are relying on motorists. I mean, it's something that even if they do everything right, it doesn't always prevent a motorist from, you know, not paying attention or being distracted and possibly coming through. So, you know, we figured that all you can do for the crossing guards is make sure they have the appropriate training, the appropriate gear, the appropriate experience. You can look at the intersections, make sure that they're clearly marked.
Massachusetts has a similar endeavor, where the Department of Health conducts investigations focused on crossing guard fatalities and produces reports with recommendations for improvement. The state creates fatality assessment and control evaluations, or FACE reports, for crossing guard incidents. In these reports, health officials provide recommendations to school districts on how to make the job safer. Emily Sparrow-Fine is a director in the department.
So a lot of these are the factors that I mentioned before, the vehicle struck by, the poor signage, the lack of appropriate reflective gear. A lot of our recommendations are making sure, you know, speed limits, there's the right speed limits and right, you know, physical infrastructure around crossing guards, good visibility, reflective wear.
The Massachusetts Department of Labor Standards is tasked with implementing these changes. Spokesman Michael Flanagan explains how they address violations.
Every violation is addressed with a civil citation, and so if there was one, they would be issued that. It would not have a monetary penalty as a first offense, so if it's a town, it's the first time this has happened, we wouldn't issue them a fine. If they have repeated fines, or if they fail to correct the issues, then obviously monetary penalties might be issued.
Even with programs in New Jersey and Massachusetts, many crossing guards are left to advocate for their own safety. As we've heard, the fixes are usually simple: lower speed limits, increased enforcement, or another set of eyes on the street. But until those solutions are implemented, families like the Wins are left wondering who's protecting other crossing guards.
These are elementary school kids walking by themselves because the parents have faith in those crossing guards to keep their kids safe. Like, they depend on those crossing guards, that those kids are by themselves, but they know those crossing guards are going to take care of my kids. You know what I mean? Because that's what they're there for. They are there to get you safely across. And so doing what we can do, because keeping our crossing guards safe keeps our kids safe. Like, it's hand in hand. It's not one without the other.
This audio series was produced through the Associated Press's Local Investigating Reporting Program in collaboration with Cox Media Group. I'm Haya Punjwani, digital audio reporter and producer with the Associated Press. Reporting for this story is done in partnership with Investigations intern Deja Garner and Investigations data journalist Aaron Kessler. For more on the story about crossing guards, visit apnews.com.
Earlier this year, AP's director of the local investigative reporting program, Ron Nixon, came up to me with a postcard he got.
I'm the person that's listed for the tips that come to AP. And so every day I get a ton of mail from like prisons and people who suspect that they've been abducted by aliens and all of those things. And so 99.99% of them never check out. But earlier this year, I got a postcard that was postmarked in San Francisco that talked about the dangers of crossing guards. Just as I was about to throw it out, I saw a couple of things that were interesting, and so I just Googled them, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, this might be something.
I'm Haya Panjwani. On this episode of The Story Behind the AP Story, we hear from Ron Nixon and investigations intern Deja Garner. The three of us, along with investigations data reporter Aaron Kessler, looked into the dangers crossing guards face on the job, as well as why that data isn't tracked and why some drivers aren't charged for entering crossing guards, sometimes fatally.
When you get a tip like this, right, the first thing is to find out, is this viable? Like, is this actually true? And so once I did a little Googling to find out that, yes, this is a thing, but you also do reporting to figure out, like, okay, how much of a problem is this? And unfortunately for us, there is no government entity, either state, federal, local, that catalogs this. And so what took so long is we had to build our own database of people who are crossing guards who were injured or killed on the job. And it's a monumental task because you cannot just ask the police for a report. And then just the scale of it meant that we probably couldn't do it all on our own, so we partnered with Cox Media Group, which has like 8 TV stations around the country. And that's helped with the reporting and the record gathering.
Deja Garner joined the AP this summer through the Ida B. Wells Society Investigative Reporting Internship. She goes to school at North Carolina A&T State University.
The data is underreported. We had to really find how many people were hurt, how many people were killed on the job of duty. So we spent time doing the spreadsheet and collecting all of these reports of crossing guards being injured. But we ran into a lot of complications because a lot of them did not have their names. A lot of them did not have follow-ups of, you know, if the drivers were charged, if the drivers were even cited, arrested or anything. So it made the investigation a little bigger because we just wanted to talk about, hey, like, this is an important issue that these crossing guards are being injured and they potentially die on the line of duty protecting these kids. But the biggest thing is that these drivers are not held accountable.
A database compiled by the AP and Cox Media Group shows that at least 230 school crossing guards across 37 states and Washington, D.C. were struck by vehicles on the job over the last decade. Nearly 36 were killed. The data, compiled from incident and accident reports requested from nearly 200 police departments, most likely represents only a portion of guards injured and killed nationwide.
After speaking to a lot of the crossing guards, they all are passionate people. You can tell their goal is to protect these kids. They love the kids. And so to see their face light up when they talk about, you know, connecting with the kids, seeing them every morning and them just building relationships with the kids. But then once you talk about who is protecting them, you can see their face kind of darken a little bit because the issue is these crossing guards do not feel protected. They don't feel as if their voices are being heard. They feel as if they're doing just an auxiliary service that some police officers just don't want to do.
Drivers who hit crossing guards rarely face criminal charges, even if the injuries to crossing guards result in death. Of the 183 incidents involving crossing guards where an outcome by police could be determined, Nearly half resulted in traffic citations. About a quarter of the drivers weren't ticketed at all, while a quarter faced criminal charges by police. Police said each case has to be looked at individually, and not every accident warrants charges.
A lot of the solutions that crossing guards were bringing up is, number one, having those body cams. They said that body cams will help because when you're out there, it's so hard to catch these license plates if they have people that are just not listening to them. Like, they could say, hey, you know, this is on body cam, and give it back to the police officer so they can go ahead and ticket them, because that's the hardest thing, tracking these drivers down after they've been disobedient, just kind of disregarded what the crossing guards are saying. They're also saying that they want more police presence out here. They don't feel as if these drivers are being held accountable because there's not a lot of police presence out there.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes survey data for on-the-job injuries and deaths across most industries. But school crossing guards are included in a job category with road construction flaggers, and the agency doesn't publish a fatality rate for it. The AP calculated its own fatality rates for nearly 200 job classifications with at least 10,000 workers and 10 deaths in 2023. Crossing guards and flaggers were in the top fifth for death rates on the job, on par with power line installers and air transportation workers. Just two states have made a serious effort to track crossing guard safety: New Jersey and Massachusetts.
Along our reporting process, we looked into one state, New Jersey, who actually has an initiative who focuses on school crossing guard injuries and fatalities. They have an inspection that they do periodically throughout the years to actually go to these different school zones and check to see if these school crossing guards are safe when they're crossing the kids. And if they're not, if they see some violations, they'll go ahead and take higher measures to make sure that the roads can be a little bit more safer, and that these school crossing guards are able to actually work where they are kind of positioned. But I think the first step, which I feel that you know, helps us, is knowing that there is a state that is tracking the data so they can see how big the issue is.
Ultimately, crossing guards say they would like to see drivers treat crossing guard safety as seriously as the safety of the children that they protect. This has been the story behind the AP story. I'm your host, Haya Panjwani.
Special thanks to Director of the Local Investigative Reporting Program, Ron Nixon, and intern Deja Gardner for contributing to this episode.
Myself and investigative data reporter Aaron Kessler also contributed to the story. Executive producer for the show is Ron Vampel. For more on this story about crossing guards, as well as other episodes of the story behind the AP story, visit AP News' YouTube channel or visit apnews.com.
The Gentle Barn, an animal rescue organization in Tennessee, offers animal-based therapy. People can brush a friendly cow, give scratches and kisses to fluffy white sheep, or cuddle a turkey, says barn founder Ellie Lax.
The world has started to recognize that dogs, cats, horses have a therapeutic value to them. So at the Gentle Barn, we think, why not turkeys?
Visitor Jordan Galata was snuggling with Smudge, a blind turkey.
You're so snuggly.
And wishing she could spend Thanksgiving at the barn.
We spend hours cooking. I would much rather be here.
Lax says the idea to include therapies in turkey sessions came to her years ago when a particularly chatty bird was following her around. I'm Julie Walker.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
A copy of the first Superman comic, a 1939 Superman number one first edition, has sold for $9,120,000 this month.
There was a lot of spirited bidding. It shattered the previous world record.
Lon Allen, vice president of comics at Heritage Auctions, says the copy was unearthed in a cardboard box under layers of old newspapers and cobwebs by three brothers who were cleaning out their late mother's attic in San Francisco.
It's one of the most desirable comic books that you could own. It's in the very highest grade. It's the original printing.
The buyer and the three brothers remain unidentified. In a statement released by the auction house, one of the brothers says the comic and its story is a testament to memory, family, and the unexpected ways the past finds its way back to us. I'm Jennifer King.
The national parks draw millions of tourists every year, many of them from other countries.
Last year, nearly 15% of visitors to Yellowstone came from outside the U.S., and that was down from 30% in 2018. Now the National Park Service says it's introducing what it calls America First entry fee policies, charging international tourists an extra $100 to enter 11 of the most popular parks, including Yellowstone, the Grand Canyon, and Yosemite. Set to take effect January 1st, foreign tourists will also see the price of an annual parks pass jump to $250. U.S. residents will continue to be charged $80. And foreign visitors will still have to pay on the park system's fee-free days. Those will be reserved for American residents. The national parks have been dealing with a major staff reduction and severe budget cuts. They're also recovering from the government shutdown and a significant loss of revenue that resulted. Ben Thomas, Washington.
It looks like we're getting a Rush Hour 4 movie after President Trump's reported intervention.
You destroyed half a city block.
That block was already messed up.
And you lost a lot of evidence.
Still got a little bit left.
The popular franchise starring Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker launched in 1998. Paramount Pictures is set to distribute Brett Ratner's Rush Hour 4, a project that Hollywood had steered clear of after earlier sexual misconduct allegations against the director. Paramount Pictures on Tuesday was in closing talks to distribute the film. Person close to the negotiations who spoke on condition of anonymity. In 2017, during the Me Too movement, six women said Ratner sexually harassed them in a Los Angeles Times report. He denies the allegations. Ratner recently made a documentary on First Lady Melania Trump. I'm Julie Walker.
The prosecutor who last month took over the Georgia election interference case against President Donald Trump and others says in a court filing that he's decided not to pursue the case further. Peter Scandalakis took over the case from Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, whose romantic relationship with the special prosecutor she had picked to lead the case gave an appearance of impropriety. 14 other defendants still face charges, including Trump's former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Trump attorney and former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. I'm Donna Warder.
Good news for home shoppers. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage fell this week to 6.23%. This is the first drop after three straight increases. The average rate is now at its lowest level since the first week of November and remains near its low for the year. When mortgage rates decline, they can boost homebuyers' purchasing power. Easing mortgage rates this fall helped lift existing U.S. home sales, including in October, when they rose to the fastest pace since February. I'm Alex Vega.
The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits declined last week, in a sign that layoffs still remain low, even as several high-profile companies have announced job cuts. U.S. applications for unemployment benefits in the week ending November 22nd dropped 6,000 from the previous week to 216,000. According to FactSet, that is below the 230,000 forecast by economists. The job cuts recently announced by large companies such as UPS and Amazon typically take weeks or months to fully implement and may not yet be reflected in the claims data.
A college basketball player in Oklahoma has died after suffering an injury during a game. Connors State College announced on its Facebook page that sophomore Ethan Dietz died Tuesday after he was injured during a game in Texas over the weekend. The 6'8" forward from Valonia, Arkansas, was injured during the second half of the Cowboys game Saturday against Grayson College in Texas. He was taken to a hospital and died 3 days later. A spokesperson for the college said initial reports indicate that Dietz suffered some kind of head injury. The Olympic flame began its journey Wednesday for the Milan Cortina 2026 Winter Games, after bad weather forced officials to move the traditional lighting from ancient Olympia to a nearby museum. With skies overcast, organizers relied on a backup flame sparked during a sunny rehearsal.
The first torchbearer proceeds towards the Pierre de Coubertin monument.
Greek rower Petros Tsiadatsis opened the torch relay, which will travel through Greece before a December 4th handover to Italy. The flame will then start a 63-day, 12,000-kilometer route across all 110 Italian provinces ahead of the February 6th through 22nd Games. Set to feature 116 medal events, ski mountaineering's debut, and the return of NHL players. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
Vice President J.D. Vance's memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, has a storied history as a New York Times bestseller and as a Ron Howard-directed movie. Now its latest role, secretly transporting drugs into an Ohio prison. Court documents say the book was one of three items whose pages 30-year-old Austin Siebert soaked in narcotics and shipped to the Grafton Correctional Institution, disguised as Amazon orders. None of the conspirators seem to realize that a central theme of Hillbilly Elegy is the impacts of narcotics addiction on Vance's family and on society. Siebert was sentenced last week to more than a decade in prison for his role in the scheme. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Miguel LaBoy has smoked pot recreationally for more than 50 years and is also among the millions who use the drug for its medicinal benefits.
They prescribed me cannabis when I had the chemotherapy. This is my only medication, cannabis.
But compared to when LaBoy started smoking in his teens, cannabis is much more accessible and potent. And contrary to popular belief, it is possible to develop an addiction. It's known as cannabis use disorder.
My name is Ann Hassel, and I am a physical therapist. And I feel guilt to this day that I upsold high-potency THC concentrates. And I remember, you know, still to this day, selling shatter to 15-year-olds who would come in as medical patients with their mother. That's what I saw happening in the dispensary. People who were casual users like myself were all of a sudden swept up in it and consuming more and more. When I started consuming the high potency THC concentrates, it was really altering who I was as a person. I was waking up and doing it. I was driving to the dispensary and doing it in the car before I went in there. I was doing it during the break.
For some, the positives still outweigh the negatives. The drug is cited to help with pain and anxiety, but frequent or heavy use can lead to memory and lung issues.
Kyle, who asked that we only use his first name,
it's the only thing that can make me relax and just actually be able to not feel like I need to do 1,000 things at once. But because of that, you know, you get a lot lazier, the brain fog isn't super fun, and then the brain fog can only be remedied by smoking again. So it kind of creates a pretty vicious cycle.
The Catholic charity Caritas unveiled the late Pope Francis's one-time vehicle, which, per his request, has been transformed into a mobile health clinic for the children of Gaza. It isn't clear if the vehicle will get the authorization from Israel to travel from the occupied West Bank to Gaza, but it's been equipped to serve vulnerable children living in areas where healthcare has broken down or become impossible to access. Anton Usfar is Secretary General of Caritas Jerusalem and head of the project.
We have seen more than 1 million children displaced, and so it was particularly important to us as Caritas, together with Caritas Jerusalem, when Pope Francis, as one of his last wishes, said that he wanted his Popemobile to be turned into a pediatric clinic for the children of Gaza.
The refurbished vehicle carries diagnostic tools, treatment supplies, oxygen, vaccines, and refrigeration for critical medicines. It'll be staffed by qualified healthcare professionals. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Wat Rat Prat Hong Tham, a Buddhist temple near Bangkok, posted a video on its Facebook page showing a woman lying in a white coffin in the back of a pickup truck, slightly moving her arms and head, leaving temple staff bewildered. Temple manager Parat Sudthup tells the AP the 65-year-old woman's brother had driven her to the temple to be cremated. He soon heard a faint knock coming from the coffin. I was a bit surprised, so I asked him to open the coffin, and everyone was startled. I saw her then open her eyes slightly. She must have been knocking for some time. According to Parrott, the brother said his sister had been bedridden for about 2 years when her health deteriorated and she became unresponsive, appearing to stop breathing 2 days ago. The abbot of the temple says he will cover the medical expenses, according to
South Korea. I'm Charles, has launched its largest satellite yet on its nationally developed space rocket. The fourth of six planned launches through 2027. The three-stage Nuri rocket lifted off from the country's spaceport on an island off South Korea's southwestern coast. Officials say the rocket placed the 1,137-pound science satellite and 12 microsatellites into orbit above Earth. The main satellite is equipped with a wide-range airglow camera to observe auroral activity and separate systems for measuring plasma and magnetic fields and for testing how life science experiments perform in space. I'm Lisa Dwyer. Soldiers in Guinea-Bissau have seized power, appearing on state television to announce their takeover.
Alto Comando Militar.
The military high command says that they have assumed full control of the state and deposed the president. The announcement follows reports of gunfire near the presidential palace 3 days after national elections. Guinea-Bissau's incumbent president was facing a legitimacy crisis when the opposition said they would not recognize him. The military claims they acted in response to a plan to destabilize the country involving both domestic and foreign nationals. They have suspended the electoral process, media activities, and closed borders. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Indonesia has opened a criminal investigation into the suspected source of radioactive contamination that forced recalls of exports of shrimp and spices to the US and sneakers to the Netherlands. The probe centered on a metal processing factory at the Kekande Industrial Estate in Banten Province on the island of Java. The smelting company, called PT Peter Metal Technology, is believed to be China-owned. The discovery of cesium-137 began earlier this year with an initial report submitted by Dutch authorities over traces of radiation found in shipping containers from Indonesia. The report stated that several boxes of sneakers were found to be contaminated. In August, the US Food and Drug Administration issued a safety alert warning customers not to eat certain frozen shrimp imported from the area. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.